Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. It is a rainy day in Southern California, though. We hope that everybody else is doing well.
It's very drippy out there.
It's very drippy, yes. And we're not even talking about our producer, which is...
It is raining.
It is drippy. Okay, it is drippy for her. All right. So we got Casey in the room. We got Steve in the room.
Yeah, we do.
And we are your Weekly Dose podcast.
And we thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awful, awkward things, the fun things, and even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all. The things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Yes, and to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and joining the conversation. You can do that several ways. One way is by commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We'll be talking to Crystal Ball. We'll be talking about Peter Scolari and somebody that you know, but you don't know his name. We'll reveal that a little bit later. We'll be talking about the Swallows leaving Capistrano, best TV show host rank of all time, and your iPod guilty pleasures.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go and you subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, you're going to do just fine. So just search for Your Weekly Dose and, most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Please do. And, of course, I got to play this theme song twice because, to me, this is one of, I think, the coolest versions of this song. Of course, it's Queens, We Will Rock You, though.
Yeah.
But this was done by Warrant for the movie Gladiator. It was a boxing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the way they did it, I thought, Jiff, kicked ass. I love it. So, cool. If you get a chance, go out and get the soundtrack to this. It's actually a really, really good soundtrack as well. You never got into the harder heavy metal stuff like I did, though, huh?
No.
Casey, did you?
A little teetered, but no, I felt more on like the Sex Pistols side of music.
Mm. What do you think of this one, though?
I think this is all right.
All right.
Just take the Queen version, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't be the classic, really.
I know. I'm not a fan of covers, to be quite honest. There are very few that I've ever been won over by.
That's a kind of a cool thing, because we should actually talk about that next time, because there's a lot of songs out there that people don't realize...
Our covers.
Yes. Of other people's songs. I mean, granted, you've got, I think, some of the most recognizable ones, like Whitney Houston's I'll Always Love You. Everybody knows Dolly Parton wrote it, though. But there's other ones out there that you go, no.
Oh, yeah.
How do you
really?
Go?
No.
Wow, this is going to be exciting.
Yeah, it will be. I think it will be for you, too. It really will. I did it with Paul when Paul was here.
Oh, okay.
And Paul was, like, blown away.
Yeah.
He was totally surprised. But anyway, go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it. That's the most important thing. And then shop to your heart's delight and get this song. It's a really cool song, you know. Everybody remembers Warrant, of course, from the late 80s, early 90s. And, of course, unfortunately, Jenny Lane passed away. Poor guy. Just couldn't shake the monkey. And that just happens sometimes in the industry. But, yeah, go out and get the song. Check out Warrant's albums. They're really cool. My favorite album is actually Dog Eat Dog. I really like that one because it was one of the more technical albums that they had. And they really, really pushed the boundaries on it.
Very technical?
Yeah.
I mean, and it was called what?
Dog Eat Dog. It was named after a Ted Nugent song.
I find that funny.
Yeah. The album cover is actually pretty bitchin' too.
We're going to make the most technical album we've ever made. What's the name of it? Dog Eat Dog.
Dog Eat Dog. Come here, little doggy. We're going to eat us out. Well, they figured, you know, chasing your tail wasn't the right way to go, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway. So there you go. So there's our theme song for today. Warren's version of Queen's We Will Rock You.
Bum,
love
bum,
it.
Bum, bum.
I'll crank it. Crank it. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. All righty. Well, let's go. Oh, you know what? I got something important to do. Hold on.
If there's no psh with that.
I am going to be in heaven right now. Because our producer.
I'm in heaven.
By what was it, your 7-Eleven?
No, it was a Circle K.
Circle K. Circle yeah. K. I love Circle K right now. I love Circle K. Because this, people, is me drinking my blue agave full throttle.
See, I always used to call the ranch at Disney Circle K. Because I couldn't get used to Circle D. But I'd always known Circle K, the market. So I've always referred to, oh, yeah, it's back at Circle K. And then people look at me like I was really stupid.
Oh, this is so good. I love it.
The letter K is inferior, you know?
Oh, I'm in heaven right now.
I can smell that.
That's what that is? Oh.
No, I actually took a shower this morning. Shut up. No, this is, I've always, Full Throttle is my favorite energy drink out there, and it's smooth, it's tasty, it's the blue agave version. I don't drink anything else unless I absolutely have to, and you found one for me.
I did.
I am going to be enjoying this morning so much because of this, because this thing is hard to find.
You know, I care about the morale of my crew.
I love it. This is the producer we need.
Could you find me like a nice small redhead with decent boobs? And
Karen's downstairs.
Truth. Her boobs are bigger than mine.
That's true.
It's true.
Mm. Karen's
it's true, but I don't know if hers tell the weather.
No, but they do predict earthquakes. They do that, though. I'll tell you that.
They just start shaking a little early.
Sometimes it's just me bouncing around the bed.
Yeah. Like the glass on the table in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, let's catch up with each other. She's joining in.
I've been brainwashed.
Well, you know what? Let's start with Casey today.
Oh, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot going on, but update, we're getting the RV fixed after that fire damage, so.
Oh, that's right. Now are things going with that?
Yeah, it's okay right now. It seems like it's all going to be covered, so that's decent. The only thing I'm real upset about is that we had this really nice, like, I don't know what you call that, fake turf grass that covers, like, over the dirt that I live in my desert, backyard, right? And that has all the burn debris from the trailer because when the firefighters came through, they had huge hooks and they literally just wrecked right into the side of the RV, tore the whole wall down to start putting out the flames on the inside. And so all that's just all over it. It's all melted to the ground and disastrous.
Ew.
But that's the only thing
smells?
I don't know. It still smells.
It still smells.
Oh, it reeks. Today, this morning, was the first day they were actually there trying to get the RV out of the slot. So it's finally getting cleaned up. It's kind of nice to see some action actually being done. Yeah. But, whew, my gosh, that was an event.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad, though. And now, you know, still working with the gentleman whose slot it was, and now he's out of everything. So we're still... I feel awful. Poor him and his little pup. I just got
him. Did they find out what the cause was? Or?
We're pretty positive he fell asleep with a cigarette in his hand.
Yep.
And my keen sleuthing skills. The other day I saw him and we were chatting and he showed me his hand because he was just gesturing. And right below the pinky, right above the wrist, he had a huge burn. And I was like, you know, I bet that if I fell asleep with a cigarette between my index and my middle finger and it fell and started smoldering, that is probably what woke him up, because he woke up in flames. When he left. Yeah, because he's half his leg amputated from the knee down. He ran out of his house without his prosthetic. Well, he didn't run.
Right.
Hopped out of the RV without his prosthetic. I mean, that was how quickly he needed to get out of the house. And it was awesome seeing those firefighters come out holding that prosthetic up.
Like
a champion.
We found the golden rule.
Yeah. So that's cool. Stuff is getting done. It seems like.
Yeah. Well, that's how, you know, there's a couple of famous people that died that way, too. The first one that came to mind is Jack Cassidy, David Cassidy's father, died that way. Fell asleep with a cigarette in his hand and burned the house down, literally.
Terrifying.
You know?
Yeah. Could have been easy. And the smoke was going up over our place. It was not going to set off our smoke detector until it was already inside the RV.
Right.
With just the way that the heat was moving. I know. I don't like to think about what could have happened. We're just happy that no one got hurt.
Yeah, me too. We would be out of a producer.
and no full throttle.
I'd be searching for another one. Oh, man.
And that one probably won't tell you the weather.
That's me guzzling and enjoying. How about you, buddy? What was your week like?
Well, a lot of things going on. Like Debbie and Neil had their house tented for termites.
Oh, that's right. She was talking to me about that.
That's right. Yeah. And it was supposed to come off yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do much. The Lakers lost their first two actual season games.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like... But then there are a bunch of people who... don't know how to play with each other yet. It's going to take time.
A lot of lube will help.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, smear themselves down with oil. Baby oil all over.
Baby oil, lube.
Ooh, that'll be,
That's helpful. That's helped me.
Yeah.
You know, I always take a couple of big bottles.
Well, I lost my fantasy football game, so now I'm 3-3 in seventh place.
Well, at least you're even.
That was something. Yeah. And
that was something.
That was something.
Yeah. This week's the first week with buys.
Oh.
So everybody has players that aren't playing that are like their best players. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
The bye weeks,
I forgot about that. Because both of my running backs, my starting running backs, are not playing because of the bye week. And I only have two other running backs. So both of them are starting. So what they'll do, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. So,
it's been a slow week. There was something else I was...
The pups.
Oh, yeah, we have visitors from...
outer space?
Out of town. I think they live close by. The landlord's wife's sister has two Jack Russell Terriers.
Oh, very cool.
And whenever they're doing something, whatever, we babysit them. And they're in the house dogs. The other dogs are always outside. They never come in. And so these two little dogs are in there running around, and, oh, they love me. They're so cute, though.
Jack Russell's are pretty cool dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Last night I was, making a salad and stuff, and I defrosted some diced chicken to put in a salad, and they're both sitting there looking so cute, like, what are you doing? And so I cut up a little bit of chicken and gave me just a nibble, just a taste of the chicken. And they were like, oh,
this is so good. Drop a cucumber next.
It's the chimkin.
Yeah. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's,
I was kind of, this week was kind of a little bit like that for me. I was a little bit quiet. I was mainly watching the Dodger games, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not allowed, when Jansen comes up now, you know, when Roberts pulls in Jansen, I'm not allowed to watch TV anymore. You know, unless it ends good for us.
You little crazy.
And then Karen rewinds it for me and then plays it out.
So she has to watch everything before you
do. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, yeah.
Must be pre-screened.
It does, because, I mean, I don't know how other Dodger fans feel about him, but I really do not like Jansen at all. I think he's fine during the regular season, but as far as the playoffs and the World Series and clutch situations, he screws up every freaking time. Every freaking time.
Well, dang it.
You know. Well, I mean, look at game, what was it, game two, you know, he goes up, whatever, they pull him in, and I said, I was really pissed off because we were ahead, or I think we were tied, actually, is what it was. And Roberts pulls him in to close, which I thought was a mistake at that point, because we would have gone into extra innings. Mm. And instead, he pulls in Jansen. There's already a man on, and, you know, he wants to try and shut him down, but and shut the Braves down. But the thing is, Jansen has a history of giving up runs in those clutch situations. And I told both Roman and Karen, five pitches. The first five pitches, he's going to give up something. First pitch, home run. Mm-hmm. Or it was a base hit or whatever. It was like, told you. And I was ranting and raving, and I was so pissed. You know, and then for them to come back and at least win, okay, you know, game one here, but then to lose game two here, you know, I mean, I don't know what the hell the Dodgers were thinking. And then they finally showed up, you know, with the other day's game, you know, where it was 2-11 and, you know, kind of basically, you know, handed the Braves their ass on a silver platter. But to go now back to Atlanta and try and win two games in a row in Atlanta, that's going to be tough. And I don't know, you know, it's going to be a flip of a coin. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really worried about it. You know, and the Braves have, I think, a little bit more of a drive coming into this series and wanting to get to the World Series because of what happened to them last year. Because mm-hmm. the Dodgers eliminated them. You know, where the Dodgers, their motivation, I don't think, is there right now, except, hey, let's get back, you know, and win back-to-back. Because last year, their motivation was, Tommy's sick. We got to win this one for Tommy. And get in for Tommy. And they did. They won the World Series. Mm. You know, and it wasn't that long after they won the World Series, you know, Lasorda passed away. So, but that was me in this week, whatever, with it. But I can't, I'm not allowed to watch Jansen pitch anymore. Unless.
Well, they're playing today at 5 o'clock.
I know, and I'm worried. I'm really worried. Yeah. So,
but I never get that way. I watch a sport. If it's my team and they're mm-hmm. there, that's cool. If they're not, it's still the game. It's still the sport.
So the Braves are going to pitch Ian Anderson.
Right.
Is he like, oh, yeah? Or is he like, well, he can be got to?
He can be gone to.
Now, he's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, pitchers are just like females. You know, as I
oh, I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah,
let's
so
finish
am I.
That. All right,
I'm excited to hear. Let me step back so the lightning doesn't hit me, especially knowing it's raining in Southern California right now.
No, it's just the same thing.
Go ahead, know, Steve. How really are women good, like pitchers?
They're really good. That you know.
No, I know
they
Steve.
Do, or you know, they can be gotten to.
Worst joke ever.
Wow.
I don't think that was a joke.
I know, because it wasn't funny.
I know. Maybe that's why I've been single so long.
And divorced twice.
And divorced twice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes. Two times. I never got married again, though. My second divorce was in 1981.
I was 11.
So.
I wasn't born.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I failed at it twice. I figured three strikes and you're out, so I just never got married again.
Fair enough.
Bah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
But we definitely had a good day yesterday, though. We had an awesome day yesterday. Because yesterday, my son turned 17 years old at 5:41.
17.
I'm enjoying it right now. So we have a couple special surprises for him. and later on today. And he's had some friends over right now who kind of spent the night. And they were all, you know, watching the Playboy Channel. And no, I'm kidding. They weren't.
The light just came on.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Way to go. And
Playboy gets blessings.
Woohoo! Yeah, it was Playboy after all. But no, and no, they can watch TV or whatever, and they kind of fell asleep. But they had a party last night also where my son's in choir, and one of the other choir parents were throwing this party thing or whatever for Halloween and what have you. Had a big, giant screen outdoors or whatever, and they were kind of showing, like, Simpsons episodes or whatever from past Halloween specials and stuff like that and everything. So, which was kind of cool. Yeah, it was kind of neat. And they had pizza and candy and stuff and what have you and everything. So,
let me ask you the big question. Did any of the pizzas have pineapple on them?
No, because everybody went the cheap route. They all went and got the just the regular
cheese.
The cheap route.
Cheese.
You mean the correct route?
No, cheap.
Cheap.
They don't want to pay for the extra toppings.
The pineapple doesn't belong there anyway.
Oh, yes, it does. Have you seen the new, was it Straw Hat? Or no, not Straw Hat. Who's
Straw, Straw
no,
Hat
no, no. Pizza.
Pizza. It's brand new.
Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut.
Oh, Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. That's who it is now.
They both had a T in
they're
it.
They're not new.
Huh? No. I was going to say the new commercial.
Oh, no, I have not seen it.
They are showing the ladies there with the host or whatever, and she goes, oh, look it. It's ham, bacon, and pineapple. And he goes, wow, that's impressive. So, see, pineapple belongs on pizza. Otherwise, you don't have a Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, it's Pizza Hut.
Well, I don't go to Pizza Hut anyway.
Right, exactly.
I go to my own place, and I get my Hawaiian pizza there, because it's better than Pizza Hut.
I scoff.
That's good. I like it. You get the sweet, the juice, with a little bit of the salt from the ham.
Randomly, my brother did that 23andMe, so he got, like, the genetic breakdown from our family, and now none of us can murder anyone because we're in the bank system now. I sent him the message. I was like, you know you've ruined all opportunities for anyone within our bloodline to not do anything. They've caught murderers like that now.
Have they really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. A huge murderer here in California.
Oh, wow.
They made an arrest because they found his familia DNA, mitochondrial DNA, in the 23andMe databases. And so what they did was they sent a mailing back to the person and said, hey, you know, we're just trying to make sure that we've got our records straight. Would you please, you know, refile your sample so that we can double check our records? Mm-hmm. And then they did, and they matched. And so they knew that it was someone within his family that matched the DNA left by the perpetrator.
Oh, wow.
And then they found out it was like a cousin or a brother or something of that nature. They made an arrest.
Wow. That's actually pretty cool.
Crazy, right?
What was that?
Just amazement.
Oh. Yeah.
That's amazement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't you remember MASH?
Yeah.
Hawkeye always did it.
I know. I wish I knew more of the details off the top of my head. But yeah, that's... It was big, too. It was... gosh, I feel like it was like Patton Oswalt's wife who was... working on doing this. She was like essentially like private detector. She was
detective.
Figuring this out on her own. There's a big documentary about her that just came out too, about Patton Oswalt's wife. She's dead now. She passed away.
Right.
And she overdosed on pills in the process of all this, keeping herself awake and trying to figure things out and stressing herself out.
Speaking of documentaries, I was watching the Hugh Hefner documentary on Amazon Prime. And the history of Playboy and what he literally went through, like through the decades from the beginning, how he started in Chicago and the true idea of the magazine and everything. It was really interesting. And
oh, yeah.
I love Hugh Hefner.
So do I. I mean, and it was really, really interesting. And I mean, and there was a lot of things I didn't know that he went into or why he went into certain things. And it was just all part of the brand and everything, and how he led certain civil rights activists type of things within, not just within the magazine, but when he first got the show, what was it called? Playboy's Penthouse that aired in Chicago, excuse me. And, you know, where his first guest was Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald. and that they were really, really worried that a lot of the southern states weren't going to carry or air the TV show. And they got the call after the first episode, and he was asking, well, how bad is it? You know, how bad were the ratings? And they go, well, let's put it this way. They're ordering 22 episodes, and they want to know what we're going to do for the next season.
Woohoo!
Just after the first show. And that's without the southern states carrying, you know, the show itself. Really interesting. And then what really shocked me was on some of the charges that were brought up against him. The biggest one that blew my mind was where his assistant, Bobby, who was with him for a number of years, like 12, 15 years, something of that nature. And she had like full access to him in the mansion and everything. I mean, she was his personal assistant. And would set him straight on a lot of things and accompany him with certain events and so forth. The DEA and FBI went after, not necessarily her, but they were investigating her boyfriend, a guy that she was dating at the time. And they took a picture of her, and they're like, well, who's this? And then when they found out who she was, then they tried to set her up to bring Playboy down. Because her boyfriend was involved with a cocaine ring, and they were falsifying that she was involved, and all of the Playboy clubs throughout the world were fronts for that cocaine ring.
Probably not entirely false.
It wasn't at all.
It wasn't false or it wasn't true.
Yeah, it wasn't true. I mean, it was.
I mean, I'm sure that there was some cocaine floating around these.
No. What I'm talking about is that she was involved in distributing the cocaine to the different clubs, and which was completely false, and she didn't even know her boyfriend was involved with it.
Sure.
Oh yeah. No.
Sure, yeah, I'm here rolling my eyes.
Calm down, yeah.
Well, it got to the point where even though there was no evidence against her or saying that she was involved, even though there was no evidence, they were basically targeting Playboy itself and trying to shut it down. And long story short, she was then sentenced to 15 years.
It's wild.
She OD'd because of it. She committed suicide because of it.
Oh, that's awful.
You know, and it just crushed Hefner completely. You know, this is somebody that had been with him for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's your name? And then it was within the next 4.5 years or whatever that the playmate, the one who got murdered. Dorothy Stratton happened also. And she was only 20. So, you know, Hugh, within 5 years, he said, I've lost Bobby, and now I've lost Dorothy.
Mm.
You know, and it turned him inside out. Because this whole thing is also narrated partially by him, too, as well.
Oh, wild.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And he, you know, opened up quite a bit on certain things and everything. But it's a really, really good documentary, though, from front to back. It's like 10 episodes, I think it is.
They had their first male Playboy cover. So they put a male on the cover of Playboy. Not Playgirl, Playboy.
Right.
With the bunnies, the whole outfit, the ears, the tail, the whole thing. He's the first man to down the bunny outfit on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's Playboy. I think there's like been a couple other people who have donned the ears and the tail, like Paul Rudd is one that's ironic, funny enough, right? But yeah, but this is that's for the first man who's ever been on the cover to don the whole getup and have like the spread in the magazine.
Yeah, he also talks about the competition as well, which really didn't happen until the 70s, because that's when Penthouse came out, and then there was an explosion of other magazines, but they were more hardcore kind of a thing, and where Hugh really struggled on trying to not go down that road. And there was a couple of times where they said, okay, well, do this, but I'm not really crazy about it kind of a thing. But some of those covers were like the top sellers or whatever. And then it wasn't until after his daughter took over in the 80s that it was her idea to invite celebrities to see if they wanted to pose for Playboy. And it kind of went back to the whole Marilyn Monroe thing. and so forth. And the whole Marilyn Monroe thing was really interesting too, because he was trying to figure out for the very first time, when they put out the magazine, who should don the cover. And they're going through thousands and thousands of pictures, and Hugh was like rejecting all of them. And you know, some of these are gorgeous women, but he goes, it has to be somebody that everybody wants. And it turns out that the only way you can get certain nude pictures of women was through print calendars, because back in those days, that's the only time that they had nude women. Well, it turned out that one of the Chicago calendar companies acquired the Marilyn Monroe pictures, and he went in and bought it, and he had $1,000 left over from his initial investment of starting the magazine, and he was able to negotiate for $500 and get the picture, and that's, and he still, apparently Playboy still owns the rights to that to this day.
Wow.
Which is cool. It's really, really interesting, you know, especially from a Americana point of view, you know, type of, oh, the light just went out. And that's the story. So, you know.
He was here, and now he's left.
Now he's left. Yeah, exactly.
The gentleman was named Bretman Rock. He's an openly gay, I guess, female impersonator.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he dressed up with the bunny outfit as a girl. But he's a guy, and he's standing there like that, and the top's down. You can see his nipples.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a guy, so it was okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Bretman Rock.
Bretman Rock.
Can we pull a picture up real quick and see that? I want to see that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know that happened.
You guys keep talking.
Yeah. But it was it's a really interesting, because like I said, he goes through the whole thing and how they started the Playboy clubs in.
Yeah,
and then the TV show in the 70s, which was Playboy After Dark,
mm-hmm.
and then how they also then transitioned when cable kind of started, you know, and then the Playboy Channel,
right,
and how that helped and everything, and then also how the casino, the Playboy Club in London was an actual casino.
Oh, yeah.
And that was bringing in like between 75% to 85% of the money for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they were targeting Playboy because, oh, it's nudity, it's this, it's that, or whatever. And so they were trying to shut down the casino in London, which they were successful on. And it also then jeopardized the new casino that they were trying to open in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And they were then denied,
right?
Because of their Playboy. Well, they show naked women, kind of a thing.
Ooh.
So, can we throw that on the big screen? Or here, let's see.
It's really interesting. I remember, you know, the first issue back when I was a kid with Marilyn on it and everything, and it was like, oh my God, what is this?
Oh, nice.
What are they doing?
Oh wow, that is really cool.
Yeah,
that is really cool. I like that because it goes back to the old. The old way of doing it.
My only confusion on that is, like, you know, Playboy is really directed at men.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. A lot of gay guys like girls.
A lot of gay women like girls.
Yeah.
I had when I was working for Studio Master, one of the girls in the office, she got Playboy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and it went around the office. You know,
of course,
basically. but like, I was even talking to my mom about
and
it.
And they
too.
Got it back, and some of the pages were stuck together, so they had to stop passing it around.
but no, I mean, and the thing is in the documentary though, it talks about what Hugh's vision was, because it was supposed to be like what Esquire was, and which was a magazine way back when, mm-hmm. that were for men, and they had their own versions of the women up, but they were like drawings of pinup girls from the 40s and stuff. And Hugh actually worked for Esquire for a short time, and the thing was that he didn't he thought that was gonna be like his dream job, because that's the magazine that he idolized and helped him be who he was. And when he got there, everything started to change. They started getting rid of certain articles, they started getting rid of the pinup girls and everything and so forth. And then he asked for a $5 raise, and they told him no, and he quit. And then, you know, then he started Playboy a couple months later, basically, and got the investors and everything, you know. But it was what Esquire was, but he just elevated it up. and goes, instead of having drawings, why don't we have actual women instead, you know, as the pinup women. And but the thing that Hugh left or did was that it was done in a classy way where it wasn't always full nude. And it, he wasn't challenged with that until Penthouse came out, when they started to show pubic hair and full frontal and what have you. And he was very, very weary about all that, because that's not a road that he wanted to go down at all. You know, he still wanted for me.
I think the big problem I had with Penthouse was a lot of times it just turned into like a gynecological exam, you know, mm-hmm. where they're sitting there, you know, spreading themselves as wide as they can, going, see, look at that. It's like, you know, they don't need that.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
And, that's, no, not, and that's just yeah. it. And that's why I think Playboy, even to this day, is considered a higher class
oh,
magazine.
Yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
you also have to look at the articles that they tackled on, because that was the whole thing that Hugh wanted to do and what Esquire was doing at the time, and moving on mm-hmm. from that, and he took it to the next level. And like I said, you got to watch a documentary on Amazon Prime. I mean, it really is good, because he goes
was
over
this
all
one
of
that
things.
Amazon made themselves?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it and Hugh, like I said, pretty much narrates the whole thing mm-hmm. as well. And they throw in interviews of members of or employees of Playboy as well, and everything, and they talked to like his first wife and then his girlfriend for a long time, which is Barbie Benton,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I totally forgot about that. I'm like, God, and she still looks gorgeous, you know.
She was so beautiful.
Yeah, and they dated for like 5-7 years.
Yeah.
So, but it was it, I mean, it's a really really good documentary, really good documentary.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of celebrity people. We lost two recently. One I'm going to talk about. Steve's going to talk about the other one.
Yeah.
And this one kind of hits home a little bit, because I grew up with this person, which was Peter Scolari. And if you're not familiar with who he is, there's an older TV show in late 70s, early 80s, where Tom Hanks co-starred with Peter Scolari. It was called Bosom Buddies. And the whole premise of it was that it's these two men who needed to find an apartment, and a friend of theirs that they work with tells them, oh, well, there's, you know, a place, you know, an apartment at my place or whatever in New York, but the only thing is, it's a hotel for women. Hmm. So now the men have to dress in drag, so it's kind of like, you know, something like it hot kind of a scenario. And so the women know now these guys as, I think, Buffy and Hildegard, and everything as the women, but then now they also know the guys as the brothers of Buffy and Hilda. So, and of course, Peter Scolari played one of the title roles. And unfortunately, he passed away yesterday morning, 66 years old. Won two Emmys, did countless plays and everything. Everett Scott, who was from the movie That Thing You Do, wrote a nice little thing about him, because he played the host of the TV show, whatever, at the end of the film,
mm-hmm.
when the Wonders finally make it on TV, and Peter Scolari played the host on that. So, very talented man, very kind man in Hollywood, and we got a little something here that kind of talks a little bit about his career, so let's go ahead and play that.
Actor Peter Scolari has died at the age of 66. The Emmy Award winner's manager told Variety and Deadline that he died of cancer on Friday morning following a two-year illness. Scolari's breakout role came alongside Tom Hanks in the beloved sitcom Bosom Buddies, which ran for two seasons on NBC in the early 1980s. The pair were real-life friends, remaining close throughout the years, with Scolari appearing in Hanks' 1996 directorial debut, That Thing You Do, as well as his 1998 HBO limited series From the Earth to the Moon, and 2004's The Polar Express. Scolari also starred on the CBS sitcom Newhart. His performance earned him three consecutive Emmy Award nominations for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series from 1987 to 1989. The native New Yorker later appeared in Lena Dunham's hit HBO series Girls as her character's father, who comes out as gay while married to her mother. The role earned him an Emmy Award in 2016. On Friday, Dunham paid tribute to Scolari on Instagram, sharing a series of Scolari in his past roles. In her post, she addressed the late actor, calling him in part the shyest extrovert, the most dramatic comedian, the most humble icon. She also thanked him for every chat between setups, every hug on screen and off, and every OGs. She ended by saying, "We will miss you so much." Scolari is survived by his wife, Tracy Shane, whom he married in 2013, as well as his children, Nicholas, Joseph, Keaton, and Callie. Mm.
California home.
Oop. Ow. That hurt.
Hmm. Well, he hit the root early.
Yeah. 66, man. That's young, too.
Yeah.
You know, that is really, really young. But funny guy. I mean, I love watching him on Newhart, too. I mean, he was. Oh, God. He was so good in that.
That was quite a show. Him and his wife, they were the perfect couple.
And you want to talk about chemistry. I mean, chemistry between him and Hanks was something else. But to see the chemistry between him and his TV wife in Newhart, oh, my gosh, that was just a match made in heaven. I mean, talk about good casting there. You know, excellent, excellent casting.
Yeah.
So you've got somebody that...
Leslie, now I'm going to say this, pronunciation is here. The last name is Bricusse. It's pronounced Bricusse.
Mm-hmm.
So Leslie Bricusse was born in 1931. And then he died on the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like 3 days ago or whatever. He's 90 years old.
Old guy.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not a big deal that
people,
he didn't die early or
not
anything.
A big deal.
You know, what? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like we're all like, oh, only the good die young. This man was a composer.
Yes, he was.
And he wrote a lot of music. He wrote a bunch of different things. I don't want to say what because Leslie Bricusse is not a name you're going to know.
No.
But boy, are you going to know when you hear this.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead and play that.
Whoa, if I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee.
And
imagine
Dr. Doolittle.
Talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals and learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree, I'd study elephant and eagle.
Love the orchestra on this.
What kind of fool am I who never fell in love? It seems that I'm the only one that I have been thinking of. What kind of man?
Great songs.
Yeah.
Great song.
Love that.
An empty shell.
You only live twice.
It was a James Bond thing.
Yeah.
Didn't Nancy Sinatra do this one?
Yes. Thanks for the prompt.
Way to go, partner.
No way.
Gold finger.
Wow.
How about that?
He's the man.
He's the man.
With a Midas touch.
You know, it's car repairs. Okay.
A spider's touch. Such a
okay, so
cold.
Have you recognized
finger.
Any of these?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Especially these ones.
Okay.
Beckons you.
Did you recognize the first one?
To enter
no.
Web no.
Of okay. Sin.
Wait a minute.
All right, everybody, gather around. The Candyman is here.
Yay!
Sweet chocolate, chocolates, muffins, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
You got a Snickers?
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can make a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle until the candy man.
The candy man can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Come on, Casey, sing it.
I do know this one. I do know this one.
Make a wish.
Was that used in the Willy Wonka movie?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. The original one.
And you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
This one's really a good song.
And you'll see into your imagination.
And the way Gene Wilder delivers the lyrics, I mean, are just,
We'll begin with a spin, traveling.
Brings just the right amount of eeriness.
Yeah.
What we'll see will defy explanation.
I don't know, I think Willy Wonka's a horror story, but...
Well, when you look at it from the Johnny Depp version, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I guess kind of, but none of those children come out alive.
Except one.
Yeah.
It's a cruel world.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what it is you do to me?
I did not know he did this one.
I don't even know what this is from.
Don't Superman.
The original, or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When they're flying?
Yeah, okay.
Just a friend. Star. Here I am, like a kid out of school.
My thing is, I think Margot Kidder just talks the lyrics.
Okay.
I think Kim Carnes is the one who sang it, which is what this
like
is.
Girl,
oh, God, I've got so many good memories, though. With Christopher Reeve.
I always find that interesting when there's like a... The version used in the film, but then it's also the actual composed, like, you know, studio recording of it always is different.
Yeah.
Like, Mulan was a big one about that with Christina Aguilera.
Far away from
was this The Grinch?
No.
There's a gift the angels sent.
You don't recognize it?
When you're
this should be your generation as a kid.
I recognize his voice. Who is this?
Every
you want a hint?
Oh my gosh, this is James and the Giant Peach, right?
No.
No, I'm still wrong. What is it?
I'll give you a clue. Robin Williams.
I can't remember.
Peter Pan's Got Kids?
Oh, this is Hook. This is Hook.
This is from Hook when Peter's daughter sings this song.
This sounds exactly like the little girl from The Grinch, though.
Oh, really?
Doesn't it? You don't really think?
Cindy Lou Who?
Yeah. Maybe it's just any childhood girl.
Wow.
So I know I'm not alone when I'm here on my own. Isn't that a wonder?
Well,
all right. Yeah. Steve told me about it, too, and I kind of read up on Leslie also, and he did so many plays as well on Broadway. Obviously, you know, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but he did Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, he had this really good relationship with Anthony Newley.
Right.
So they did a lot of work together.
Yeah.
Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, stuff like that. Roar of the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he is a big person in the industry that people don't really know his name.
Right, yeah.
And it's sad that he's now gone, but it's so beautiful that we have so many things that he did that you can still listen to and watch.
And some of those are from, like, my childhood kind of thing, you know. So I can only imagine, like, you know, you hear the thing from Hook, and you go, oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, both of them will definitely be missed.
And I find that films nowadays compose less and less for the film itself. It's usually collaborated with now artists and performers who are making songs for the movies?
I found in the industry, it always depends on the approach of it, because sometimes they're looking for certain people to... They'll approach them to say, hey, can you try, you know, or whatever, or do you have a song that may work, you know, for it?
And yeah.
I think one of the perfect things is, well, or perfect stories, is Huey Lewis in the News. He was approached to do the theme for Ghostbusters. And they asked him, we want something kind of like, I want a new drug. You know, we want that flavor or whatever, but, you know, we want something for, you know, ghost things or whatever. And Huey just turned him down. He goes, nah, I'm not interested. Thanks. And then they got Ray Parker to do it. And they said, listen to this song. Can you make something out of this? And he went, sure. And basically used the same chords.
Is that da-da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And basically copied what Huey Lewis did in I Want a New Drug. And there was a whole court battle on that, too. And unfortunately, the producers of the movie and everything had to pay Huey Lewis a large sum of money.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Because they went, well, yeah, we kind of said, yeah, okay. So they got, you know, and they had to pay Huey.
Hmm. Usually loopholes around stuff like copyrights are pretty easy to to do.
Yeah, but they blatantly said, yeah, we gave Ray this. And so he took the chords. Oh. Oops. But then Huey was then approached later on about Back to the Future. And was asked, you know, what songs do you have or whatever? And he goes, well, I've got this one, which was The Power of Love. And, of course, it became a big hit within the movie itself, but it was where it was placed at in it. And then Huey then, and that song was, I think, already written for just, it was supposed to go on the next album, but they held it back for the film. And then he wrote, though, another one for the end credits for the film, specifically that had to deal with back what happened in Back to the Future, kind of a thing, called Back in Time. So, you know, so it all depends, you know, on I think on the approach, because Adele was approached to do, you know, the Bond films, you know, but she did in that old gold finger kind of style or whatever, and she fucking killed it, you know, and did a really, really good job. And but it's always, I think, the music supervisors to try and go out and see what can we use and this and that and whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
I just feel like films have fallen away a little bit from a lot of the composing the music to the film.
And well, if you're talking about composers, I mean...
Well, yeah, because that's what...
Yeah,
that's
what yeah, if you're talking about actual composers, I mean, there are a handful out there. I mean, Hans Zimmer has been come up through the ranks. I mean, to me, he's the next John Williams because he's done so much. But, I mean, the biggest name... I think since 1970 is going to be John Williams. I mean, everything from Jaws to Star Wars mm-hmm. to Indiana Jones to Cocoon, Back to the Future. I mean, and each of those themes are so freaking iconic that I mean they're separate from one another. They have their own identity within themselves and everything. You know, I don't think anybody can ever outbeat John Williams as far as that is concerned. But then you've had other people where what's a dude from Oingo Boingo, Danny Elfman, who went in and his first time he composed anything was just
that dude
yeah, not the one we met, but the famous
not the one we met,
yeah. God, that was so funny. Where Danny was doing it for the first time, kind of a thing. And one of the first films I think he did was the Batman theme from 1989. But then if you listen to his other compositions, they're all somewhat similar to each other and everything. So he hasn't really spread out that much, you know. And then, of course, you know, he got a good partnership with, who's that crazy director that Johnny Depp always works with?
Quentin Tarantino?
No, the other idiot, or rather nice guy, actually.
Hmm.
The one who directed Batman, Tim Burton.
Oh, okay.
Tim Burton. So, because Danny Elfman does an awful lot of Tim Burton films, basically. But I think the next person to really step up and carry it is Hans Zimmer, because he's done a lot of films also, and everything.
Well, good. I hope it comes back more. I prefer the films that were composed.
Yeah, and what's funny too, because you mentioned that, is that there's also a difference between the sound, was it the soundtrack and the score? mm-hmm. of the films. And sometimes you have to look at both to get what you, what do you want? Do you want the soundtrack, which is like the songs that they used, you know, or do you want the music that goes along with the film? You know, and that's the score.
Right.
You know, and those are fun to listen to as well. So, anywho, so there we go. You know what we should do? Our sponsor?
Oh, well.
We should do that.
I guess we should do that. Okay.
Yeah, we need to do our sponsor.
You know, with certain things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise, companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simply go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Yep, Stranger Prints is the official merchandise printer for your Weekly Dose. They all do all of our shirts that we give away, but that's not all they do.
They do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs, for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com, and tell them your Weekly Dose sent you, because, damn it, we just did.
That's right.
Did you get every last drop?
Yeah. I feel like I'm...
It's gone already.
I feel like I'm sucking on a dry
nipple. Yeah, it looks like you dropped some of it on your inside of your right leg there.
Yeah.
No, it's just the results from ingesting the full throttle, I guess.
Yeah, it's starting to leak out here.
Either way, it's good. Either way, it's good. I love it. I love the full throttle.
I can't even get around the taste of those things.
No, I can't.
Drink that much caffeine.
That's why I like that. Dude, there is like no harsh taste on that. Did you see how quickly I drank that?
Yeah, you're a fool.
Okay. I've had a monster downstairs. I kid you not. I would have drank that a lot slower than that full throttle.
Yeah.
That is, I'm giving you a 20. Buy me as many cans as you can. Oh, let's see. Where are we at right now? Oh, you know what? Let's talk about the Dodgers and the Braves real quick, because they're playing tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
I was thinking about this just the other night, actually. And the fact is that the Giants had 107 wins. The Dodgers had 106 wins. And odds are neither one of them are going to be in the World Series. There's something in my mind that finds that kind of odd, because these other teams, it wasn't like they won 104 or, 100. They won a lot less games.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this moment, they're peaking. They, it's just, it's weird that the two best teams, obviously, maybe peaked too soon.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, you think Atlanta's going to take the next two games then?
Well, all they have to do is win one of them, so.
Right, true. But you think they'll take one of them?
I don't think the Dodgers will win both games. I just don't see that happening in
Atlanta.
Atlanta. I almost said Milwaukee. Boy, that shows how old I am.
Yeah. You're in a completely different state.
Hey,
I kind of agree with you, but for different reasons. And it's kind of like I was talking about it earlier. Game two here, which is what was technically game four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know where in the hell the Dodgers were that night. You know, but they kind of got their asses handed to them, you know, 9-2. But then last night they woke up and were firing on all cylinders and, you know, beat the Braves, 2-11. It's like, where were you last night?
Yeah. That's baseball.
Yeah. And
you never know.
But going in or whatever, I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be hard to beat Atlanta at home right now.
Yeah.
Not that they can't do it. They beat San Francisco in five.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a pretty good battle though.
Mm-hmm.
And but where they're at right now, I think they're a little bit too tired. They got too many people on the injured list. You know, kind of a thing. And it's a matter of going in with that confidence, going, can we do it? Will it go seven?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really don't too. But we want to talk to an expert on this though.
Oh, we do. Yes. You know. Yes, definitely. Because
we definitely
want
to talk to an expert on this.
Our small minds, you know, have trouble grasping a lot of the ins and outs of the professional sport world. Ooh, that's a familiar sound.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I like that.
Yeah. So we want to talk to an expert and make sure that, you know, we know what we're talking about, not just because of our feelings or whatever, but, you know, that things are done properly. So, but we need to talk to our expert and do it in a gradual way to get there. So, first thing that we're going to ask is talk to the crystal ball, and that's our expert. And we're going to ask the crystal ball some simple questions just to kind of warm up the crystal ball. It's been a while since we've used the crystal ball, and just kind of ask them, you know, for example, we have a new producer.
We do.
You know, and just ask, you know, and just ask a simple question. Crystal Ball, do you feel our producer is doing a great job right now?
The answer you seek is yes.
Oh, great.
There
so
you
that's
go.
Good. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, see?
That's right.
So Crystal Ball likes you.
That's
You're
good.
Doing a great job.
Good. I will continue to pay the Crystal Ball.
The Crystal Ball appreciates it, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know. So, Steve, do you have a question maybe for the Crystal Ball, but just to help warm it up a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Crystal Ball, will I be able to ride my bike tomorrow?
Oh, okay. All right.
It is a certainty.
Oh, well, that's good. That's
very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, we came back with another weight.
I don't know.
With
I, don't know.
Another,
you know.
I don't know what he's going to say now. But, so I've got a question for Crystal Ball. Okay. So Crystal Ball, the present that I got my son for his birthday, will he be surprised?
The outcome cannot be predicted.
Okay, I can kind of understand that because it is a surprise. You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't want to reveal too much about it or anything like that, but yeah, I think we kind of warmed up the crystal ball a little bit.
Well, you know, it may be the Christmas story scenario where he gets it, and then but he's still looking around for that Red Ryder rifle, you know.
Yeah, even though he can shoot his eye out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, so now we'll ask. Crystal ball. Will the Dodgers win today's game?
I am confident it is no.
There we go.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you know, he's confident. Yeah. It's no. He's very, very confident.
Now, we are
it.
Talking about a little electronic piece of plastic.
We are.
But.
But it's our expert.
It's our expert.
It's our expert, yeah, you know.
And we already tested it on the baseline questions. We know it's right.
Yes.
We know it's right.
Exactly.
We know it's right.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, but maybe, you know, it needs a little bit more help of I don't
mean,
know.
Like maybe rephrasing the question.
Rephrasing the question
until we get the right answer.
Yeah, maybe.
No, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So you know, today's game. You know, it starts at what 4 o'clock or something like that.
Five, didn't it?
Five. What time does it start?
Oh, I just had it up. Now I don't.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Boy, that's the story of your life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Strike while the poker is hot. It's at 5:08.
5:08. Okay. All right. So, you know, maybe today's game. Maybe we should ask, you know, game six. Maybe we should ask game six. So, okay. Crystal ball. Will the Dodgers win game six against Atlanta?
Yes, it is certain.
Oh, okay. So they have a shot.
Right, yeah. So
they got a shot.
Yeah, it's like 50-50.
50-50.
You know?
Okay. So let's put it this way then. Crystal ball, will the Dodgers and Braves series go to game seven?
Good point.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
There you
All
go.
Right, so,
yeah, so, is it, it's
so there's a good possibility.
2-1 that it's going to game seven.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that's the kind of thing that we're looking for. What are you looking at?
I'm wondering if she really understands the nuances of the crystal ball.
Ball. Yeah.
You have to. It's like everything else, you know. It can be gotten to.
Yeah, I mean, cause we can go to a completely different direction and go, crystal ball, can producer Casey really really tell the weather by grabbing her boobs?
Yes.
Well, okay then. So there you
told
go.
You.
There it was.
There you go.
There it was.
We got two yeses, you know, for producer Casey.
Okay, I have a question.
On things that are undeniably facts.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay.
Crystal ball.
I love the fact that you're looking at it right now.
Crystal ball.
Hi, Steve. I'm over here.
Could Casey's boobs predict the weather if I grab them?
Yes.
All right. There you go.
Crystal ball. If Steve grabs producer Casey's boobs to tell the weather, will her boyfriend Mateo beat his ass?
Now is not the right time to tell you.
Okay. Okay. Oh, no. So we got to wait.
Uh-oh.
So we got to wait to find
wait
out.
To find out.
Yeah, if Mateo is going to come over here and kick your ass. Yeah.
I love you, Mateo. Really.
know, if anyone knew Mateo, they would know the answer is no.
Yeah.
Oh. Ask again, Steve. Oh.
The answer is no. He's not going anywhere that's not near a video game or a television screen.
So we can keep him occupied then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be playing my
boobs.
My
groups. I was gonna say. I mean, if Mateo's busy with video games,
well, he's diving out of it.
We're having fun with our producer.
Yeah.
Not today. It's bad weather.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's yeah.
My boobs told us earlier.
It's weird. It's not really raining a lot, but it's like damp, misty.
It's a heavy drizzle.
Yeah, heavy
is.
Drizzle, and everything gets really wet and drippy rather than have it just rain. I like that, wet and drippy.
Just
and
moist.
Drippy. Moist.
Moist.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard somewhere that women hate that word.
I don't think it's women. I think it's anybody. There's
really?
Yeah, there's a couple different weird things like that. Like there's actually a name for the term if you don't like the sound of people chewing.
Uh-huh.
It's like an actual
sound. Yeah.
It's like a thing that you can be diagnosed. I don't know if you're diagnosed with it, but it's an affliction of sorts.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad Crystal Ball helped us out, though. Yeah. I mean, it's always good.
I feel like Crystal Ball was pretty on it.
Right on the money.
More than not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I totally agree.
And Crystal Ball retains employment.
Live to talk another day. Absolutely. Alrighty. You know what? Today is actually where are we at on time right now, Casey?
It's 11:07.
Okay, cool. We got plenty of time then. We've got today is actually the day that the Swallows leave San Juan Capistrano and go back.
And if you see the weather, you know why.
Exactly.
They're like, all right, that's enough of this. Let's go, guys.
Exactly. And go back to, and I didn't know this because I didn't know where they go to. I didn't know how far they migrated. I'm going to say immigrated, but migrated to, which is in Argentina.
Argentina?
Yeah, I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole thing, though, is God, I need glasses now. Gee, many crickets.
You want me to read that for you?
Do you need one? Let's see. The famous Swallows, basically in San Juan Capistrano, leave town every year, swirling masses on the day of San Juan, which is October 23rd today, returning to their winter vacation 6,000 miles away, which is a town called Goya in Argentina. The mission in San Juan Capistrano has been around for many years. Of course, they returned to us here in March to the ringing bells of the old church and a crowd of visitors, of course. It's a very, very famous thing here in San Juan Capistrano here in Southern California. And I've never gone down to go see it. We were trying to get down to see them at least leave and say, see you later.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you in March.
Bon voyage.
Yeah, something. I even bought birdseed.
Some kind of send-off.
Yeah. And but it was reading it. It's really interesting on the history of it, and it's just something that they've been doing for, hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just this natural thing that they do. What was the other thing that I had?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
When you were,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Did the Swallows, were they flying back to California and looking around, going, oh look, there's a church?
No.
Let's go there. Or were they living in the trees in a forest in San Juan Capistrano and somebody came along and cut down all their trees and built the...
That's exactly what happened.
Uh-huh.
So legend has it that the swallows took refuge in the mission in San Juan from a irate innkeeper who destroyed their muddy nests.
Damn.
So basically, they were already doing it already, and then the mission was built and so forth, and then they still kept coming back, but the innkeeper started destroying the nest that they made because where the mission sits is in between two rivers. So it's perfect for them for feeding on insects and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But they also found the protection of the mission itself helped them.
And nobody was cutting down their nest.
Right, at the mission. And that's why it's helped them. So they've been doing it ever since the mission has been built.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Humans intervened, and it was awful.
Yeah, exactly.
I seem to remember humans. A long time ago, there were these T-shirts that said, Save the Swallows. But I thought it was for something entirely different.
Well, the thing is that there was the numbers have gotten smaller for whatever. I didn't get into the reason why, though, but they have gotten smaller over the years.
Because women are quitters.
Yeah. Boy, come on. It's only been 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Wow, that's a long time. Wow. Okay, anyway. All right. But it's really, really interesting, though. So the swallows leave Argentina on the 18th day of February at dawn. And in large groups, obviously. And then they arrive together... They arrived together in Capistrano on the 19th day of March.
Also in large groups.
Also in large groups.
Yeah.
But there are, what the article was saying, though, there are scouts, though, that go ahead of the larger groups to make sure everything's okay.
They come in a couple days early, and they land, and they start building little campfires.
They do.
In the mission. Around.
Yeah.
Those are the scouts.
Well, they have to get the reservations at the Holiday Inn.
They make the reservation.
Yeah, the Motel 6 and all that stuff in Capistrano. Yeah.
We're coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody else, they go, okay, come on in. Everybody, it's okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Look at the birds.
You're okay.
Oh boy. It's okay.
Bunch of birds.
Bunch of birds. It's okay. Yeah, we're in Orange County. It's okay. No problem. No, so it's okay. But they do fly at an altitude of more than 6,600 feet in order to take advantage of the fast currents of the winds and everything.
Oh, wow. Boy, that poop's going to hit you hard falling that far.
Well, I think it's going to turn into like crystals, basically. Kind of like an airplane.
Like hail.
Yeah, exactly. So next time you see brown hail,
that's right.
It may not be
swallow hail. Poop hail.
It might be swallow poop, exactly.
Boy, that's an odd sentence.
But still, I mean, to travel that far, though, I mean, that's a hell of migration, though.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's pretty wild.
So, in honor of the mission there in San Juan Capistrano, Steve and I have some tweets, or funny church signs, actually, is what we've got, that have been recognized all over. So, why don't you go ahead and do that first one, Steve?
Respect your parents. They passed school without Google.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I didn't have Google. I like this. Too hot to keep changing the sign. Sin bad. Jesus good. Details inside.
So Sinbad goes to church?
Yes.
Confused on that one.
Yeah.
Forgive your enemies. It messes with their heads.
It's true. It does.
Yeah.
Just love everyone. I'll sort them out later. God.
With all this rain, we need an ark. Fear not. Wait for it. We know a guy.
That's good.
Boy, that's a contradiction in terms in my mind. A religious pun.
Okay. I think you might enjoy this one. This reminds me of an old Johnny Carson joke. A sheep, a snake, and a drum fall off a cliff. Bottoms.
This music bed's awful, gentlemen. Yeah. Making people listen to this?
It was like Zis Boom Ba.
Exactly,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zis Boom Ba. What happens when the sheep explodes?
What?
Boom Ba.
What's the sound made?
Boom Ba.
What sound is made when a sheep explodes? Okay, Easter comes once a year. How often do you?
Not enough.
Boy, that's very
more than once a year. Yeah.
Wow. With a partner or self-inflicted? That's what I first questioned.
These must be from Baptist churches.
Self-inflicted, it's more.
Okay.
God didn't create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes come pretty close.
I hate those little fuckers.
They were looking into something with mosquitoes and cancer.
Really?
Yep. Same with like snake venom from like scorpions and stuff of that nature too.
Huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently it kills things. They're just now trying to work on it, how it can localize and work. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, they have a reason, I guess, right? I always try to remember that.
Remember, Jesus is watching, but the police have radar.
I like this one because this one was poking fun at another church. Mm-hmm. And it says, live so fully that the Westboro Baptist Church will picket your funeral.
Oh, no. Oh, that is...
Okey-doke.
Wow.
Okay, try having trouble sleeping. Try one of our sermons.
I like that one. I fell asleep I don't know how many times. And when I went to church, even the crickets. God's last name isn't damn. In his hands, he's
got the whole That's news to me.
It's Rodriguez.
Oh, he does my lawn.
Jesus Rodriguez.
Okay, now always remember that God shows no favoritism. But sign guy does. Go Canucks. He's got
brothers and sisters. In his hands, he's got brothers and sisters. And the closer, here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Just go to church.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Blah, blah, blah. Just go to church. Just go to church. Oh, my gosh. Funny church signs. There you go. Love it, love it, love it. And away we go. All right, what else we got going on here? Oh, you have it, I think, Steve.
Yes, the greatest talk show hosts ever.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Do you have a favorite?
I do. I'm going to rank them in order. And this is growing up. In all of these, and I know this is not coming from... strictly late night. This is everybody, you know, different talk show hosts, mm-hmm. daytime, nighttime, or whatever. But for me, growing up, Carson King, period.
Mm-hmm.
End of conversation. Number one for me. To watch Carson late at night was a treat for me overall, you know, and then to see some of the celebrities come on, especially Rickles, good God,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same token, Carson was my folks' generation. And, you know, he had the crossover a little bit, but not much. Occasionally, he would have new artists on or whatever. He definitely broke a lot of new comedians, though, through the years. And then to sit down with him on your first one was, you know, your first appearance was an honor. And you knew you had made it. And that doesn't happen anymore. But Carson's my favorite. After that, Letterman, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Letterman lasted a little bit longer. He, I think, showed me, in the same essence of Mark Thompson, that stupid can be funny. You know,
Grindr Girl.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Will it float?
Yeah. you know, and that's just it. Will it be funny? Funny, and it was several times, you know, and for him it was always the setup though that I think made it the best,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then my third, Arsenio Hall, because Arsenio was smart enough and I'm talking about the first time he had his show, was smart enough not to go after Johnny's audience, but he went after the kids of Johnny's audience, which was basically me. And he broke a lot of barriers of having certain people on that show, and did, I think, a lot of good interviews as well. And, mm-hmm. I mean, he had everybody from Prince to Madonna on there, and the newer generations. And that was something I think my generation was missing from Carson overall. And you know, and I think Arsenio was able to do it, and not that he chipped at Carson's throne, but I think he added to it a little bit, and you know, and that's my take on it. So Carson, Letterman, and Arsenio.
Hmm.
How about you?
Very interesting. Well, when I was young, the guy I loved the most was Steve Allen.
Mm-hmm.
His show was just funny. You know, he had people like Don Knotts on it, and
Man on the Street.
On the Street, and just it was just funny. It really was funny. He had just good people, and there's something about him. And I think that's what I tend to in life, like with sports or with everything else, is I look to the individuals doing it rather than the overall, like something like football.
Mm-hmm.
I like people like Peyton Manning. You know, I wasn't necessarily a team fan. I mean, I was a Rams fan when I was young, but they left. You know, and Georgia Front and Reary took them to St. Louis. Was it Frontieri? Oh, did I get that wrong? Anyway, of course, I like Carson.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. But for me, number one, because, again, just something about him was David Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
I just... oh my God! I loved him. The things he did, and the stupid things he did, and the way he was committed to that show, in a way that was like just—it just spoke to me.
Yeah.
So
I loved it when the whole thing went down the second time, when Conan O'Brien took over for the Tonight Show and then lost it,
mm-hmm.
and everything, and. In the way Letterman handled it, I remember him just talking about it, where he was quoting Jay Leno and saying, you know, well, nobody's blaming, you know, Conan.
Right.
You know, and he was just kind of looked at the camera and was like, you're right, Jay. Nobody is blaming him. We're blaming you, you know, kind of a thing. It was that's what the thing was, you know. And but, yeah, I mean, Letterman was just he was the last icon, I think, you know, for this. But you had, you know, Colbert, you had Jimmy Fallon step in for the Tonight Show and everything, and mm-hmm. I do like, you know, Conan O'Brien as well. You know, they're definitely in my top 10.
I like Conan.
Conan's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Conan's absolutely great. It just sucked the way everything went down for him, though.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, you know, and that was. To me, that was dirty of what NBC did and how they handled the whole thing. You know, the next generation, they're not as funny, I think, or you know, I think the last good one really is Conan. You know, I'm not that crazy about Fallon. You know, I don't know what it
Fallon's
is.
Fallon's an extremely talented guy, but.
He used to be really funny.
There's still something kind of missing at times with him. But, yeah, he has some great funny stuff.
And, yeah, I give him credit with that. I mean, he does try to come up with certain things to keep it entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, and bring in other celebrities just to do this bit or that bit or whatever. You know, but it's definitely not Carson because, you know, Carson had the nighttime players. You know, mm-hmm. and they would go off and do their own little skits and this and that or whatever or what have you.
Could you say skits and this
skits
and that?
Skits and this and that, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
I like the way you say that.
Well, I'm turning you on? Wow.
That's
are your nipples getting hard?
Say it one more time.
Skits and this and that. Are you kidding me? I'm not.
Oh, okay.
All right.
okay, greatest talk show host ever ranked. Here's number 10. He's the host of a long-running program on NPR called Fresh Air.
Okay.
I've never heard of it, never seen it. It's okay. Terry Gross.
Terry Gross. I think that's a gal, isn't it?
It's the what?
Isn't that a gal?
Terry She's an executive producer, is a boss, fearless leader, intellectual interviewer, needle-sharp question lead, occasionally heated exchanges with... I guess it could be. I don't know. See, like I say, I don't know who Terry Gross is. Okay. I've never seen it or heard her, him, her, them. Ah, I've never heard them.
Of them, right.
So, okay. Number 9, Conan.
That's good. Yeah.
He's good in top 10.
No, we talked
Number
about
eight, Colbert. Stephen Colbert.
I love Colbert. Colbert was great. I thought he was a good replacement for. Good guy. What you said his name? Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket was the host
no,
of the
for Letterman.
Show.
Oh, no. For Letterman.
Yeah.
I thought he was a good replacement because, I mean, I liked him on his own. You know, we had the Colbert Report. So, you know, I thought, you know, yeah, does a decent job.
Well, he makes me laugh. There's just simply there's something about the stuff he does that Colbert makes me laugh.
Believe me, I'm not watching him every night, though. So, I mean, I'm not staying up like I used to watch them.
None of these. It's such a bummer, too. Trevor Noah was an amazing stand-up comedian. He was
Trevor
so
was
funny.
Trevor was good.
And then now he's a late-night host, and he's awful.
It's political.
It's terrible.
He's not that great, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the things. I don't mind political humor, but I like political humor when it's going both ways. And
right.
that doesn't seem to be the case anymore on these. It's
right.
always it's just always dogging. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I
mainstream.
Totally agree.
I feel like that's kind of what's been lost is they forgot to be funny. Just,
yeah.
And that
you
it was supposed to be entertaining.
Sides.
Yeah, because it's not just fun to laugh at other people. It's fun to laugh at yourself every now and again.
Oh, you have to laugh at yourself.
Yes. Okay, number seven. This is a fictional. That's kind of interesting.
Really?
Larry Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Gary Shandling, when you had the Larry Sanders
Gary
Show.
Gary Shandling and the Larry Sanders Show.
Right.
And what's his name was his title? Hey, now. Okay. Number six was Oprah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, I don't know again. Great Mark news. Maron.
Yeah, he's a comedian.
Stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was a failed left-wing radio host. He was just another bitter, neurotic, narcissistic, middle-aged comic before he began broadcasting. So,
okay.
He still and is that.
I,
he's just my, now has a platform.
He's my hero because he lives in the town I grew up in, Highland Park, just north of downtown LA.
Oh, good.
So that's cool. Number four, Jon Stewart. He's a little dry for me.
Yeah, I can go either way with Stewart.
I feel like I do. I do like him. He's still on my respectable side.
He's got he's got some edgy things that he number three Johnny. So Johnny
wow,
Carson,
oh,
number
three.
Wow. Where's Bill Maher on this?
Bill Maher.
Where's he on this? Not on the list.
Not on the list.
Not
really
in the top,
surprised.
Well, this is top 10. This is the
top 10. But still, Bill Maher. I'm a little surprised that he's not on there anyway.
Yeah. I like Bill Maher. He's really controversial.
I do like Bill Maher. If we're talking about someone who likes to punch both ways on his jokes, that's
he will.
That's
oh,
Bill
yeah.
Maher. I really respect him for that.
He tells it what he says what he sees. And
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm really surprised he's not on this list. I'm bummed. In fact, there are a few I'd like to throw out and put him on instead.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'll just write my own list.
Okay, number two is David Letterman.
Oh,
okay.
And now number one.
Wow, Letterman beat out Carson. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bummer to me, too.
Number one, it's a little odd. I'll give you a hint. The average listener who likes him would listen to his show for like an hour a day. The people who didn't like him would listen to his show for 2 hours a day. And the reason overall why people listen to his show, whether they liked him or not, was to see what the hell he's going to say next. Ring a bell?
It does.
That's out of his movie.
It does. He's out of New York. And I think he called himself the king of all media, which is Howard Stern.
That's it?
Number
Makes
one.
Sense. Howard Stern.
I can see that because I mean, he's also changed ever since he went to Sirius Radio. And everything he's done a little bit of change.
He became a lot more serious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
such a shame. Hey, Howard Stern, if you're listening, could you tone it back, please?
I kind of like him though over there because I mean he's gotten some really good interviews with certain people, and I think as an interviewer, he is still I think a little bit provoking with the artists that come in, whoever.
Yeah, I get that.
Whoever they are.
But he went over there to avoid regulation, and now he's preaching on his talk show about regulating things. So,
yeah.
Nah, we're all hypocrites.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like with me. It's like.
But he became a name for non-regulation. You can't. Like,
well, I became a name for not eating tomatoes, but yet I still eat ketchup. So, I mean, you know.
Is that true?
Yeah.
The anti-tomato man?
Anti-tomato man. You know, until I really started to like it a whole lot, so. But anyway, well, that's cool, man. Well, those are the best TV shows.
No Sherry Lewis? What the heck?
I loved her. I loved Lamb Chop.
Me too. She was great.
Oh, I know. I watched her every day.
I had underwear. Lamb chop underwear, the special pair that you can wear.
You wore lamb chop? Really?
Yeah, enough that I remember that jingle.
Wow. We just learned something about our producer. Holy cow. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Okay,
I don't know why that stuck with me my whole life.
I don't even know why you said it, but I got to ask this question now. Did you ever wear underoos?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Yeah, neither did I. I just wanted to find out.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you know, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today, guys. We really appreciate it. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Follow me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva, and Twitter at SilvaLining69.
Wow, you sounded so excited when you said that.
I know, and I'm out of jail. You can find me on Facebook, Casey Nicole Summers.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah. Until I'm back in jail.
Which will be Tuesday. Also, guys, don't forget to listen to our show, past shows on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Fridays. And, of course, we're live with you guys every Saturday morning, or actually Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. And, guys, don't forget also, tell your friends about the show because we cannot grow without you. Help us spread the word.
About the show. Tell your friends, your relatives, people you know at...
There.
Pick it up. PTA and YMCA. Tell people you haven't talked to in years. Tell them we dare you. Walk up to a stranger on the street.
Yeah. Tell them, hey, I listen to Your Weekly Dose. You know what that's about? No. Well, you should listen to it. They're great. They're this, they're that, they're everything else that you want, or whatever. And then they're done. You know, simple as that. So.
Kind of like this show right now.
Exactly.
Dang.
All right, guys. Yeah. Take care. Have a good one.
Be good, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.